Well, for my message this morning, I'd like to begin kind of with a form of a confession. I really can't see you out there when I'm wearing my reading glasses. If I take my glasses off, I know who's out there. And oftentimes people say, well, did you see so-and-so in church today? And I say, well, you know, I see shapes and forms and people like that. But with these things on, now I do have a prescription for real glasses and not just readers. And so I do honestly need my vision corrected, and I have a prescription. So when I get that thing, you know, the bifocal thing, then I'll be able to see you and see this at the same time in total clarity. But you know, that's the way it is. You know, sometimes we just don't see things correctly, or maybe the way we should, or the things maybe the way they really, truly are. And that's kind of the way it is with life, the way we interpret reality. You know, this life is full of uncertainties, and those uncertainties can cause worry and stress and cause us to be anxious. We're wondering, you know, what's going to happen next? What can or will go wrong? And Christians are faced with the realities of this world. We can't escape it. And along with the joys that come from life, we also face trials and tribulations that come from just living in a broken world. The present realities can wear us down and wear down our faith. But then along comes God's word, which reminds us of another reality and realm in which we as Christians live. I want to focus on the New Testament lesson for today, because it focuses on the Holy Spirit as he works in people's lives and the lives of believers to keep them in the Christian faith. He helps us to see that there are really two realities in life. In the lesson, Paul tells us what he saw and what he had come to know through the course of time. And in this passage, he explains why he continued in ministry, even though it meant incredible hardship and even the possibility of death. Something that he came to see and know to be real kept him going. And Paul, too, like others, was going through times of great affliction. All you have to do is read the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and you come to read that he even despaired of life. Things were so great as far as the turmoil he was going through as a proclaimer of the message of Christ. But Paul believed, and he continued to trust the Lord in the midst of affliction. Paul's testimony, he would say over and over, he says, God's faithful. God never fails to keep his promises. Paul's attitude, it was gratitude. His response, it says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. What he had come to know and had experienced changed his perspective on things. So what Paul says is, it doesn't really matter what happens to me. It really doesn't matter. What matters is the eternal destiny of the Corinthians, the people he penned this letter to. It's their eternal destiny that mattered to him the most. All this, and it says, what I've been going through is, he says, is for your benefit. He was willing to face anything if it resulted in life being at work in the Corinthians. A new life that begins in time, but will continue into all eternity. So Paul is saying, for us, what matters is the eternal destiny of. What really truly matters is the eternal destiny of, and you can start filling names in the blanks. People that he came to know there in that city. People he knew personally. That's what matters, is the eternal destiny of whoever these people are that came to mind, and all the others. At the end of verse 15, Paul speaks of the end result, the goal. He says the end result, the goal is that God might be glorified. Grace is reaching more and more people as Paul continued to proclaim the message. And that in turn caused thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. We start reading through here and we see the process. As the number of those people have personally experienced the grace of God in their life, and that was increasing, thanksgiving to God increased. And God, therefore, is glorified to an ever-growing degree. So in verse 16, therefore, because of that, that's the reason we don't lose heart. Because of a different change in our perspective, what we're seeing is what matters most, where we want things to go. That's the reason we don't lose heart. Paul saw himself as a weak, fragile jar of clay. But yet at the same time, he saw strength. As one person put it, the weaker we are, the more visible the powerful life of Jesus is. Paul totally knew his limitations. He knew his weaknesses. He knew where his vulnerabilities were. But yet he also knew the promises that he was holding on to. He came to know who Christ was in his life. You see, the right vision gives us this perspective and helps us to see things differently. And what makes things different is when we compare them and when we lay them side by side. We focus on the unseen by faith. And that's what Paul is doing. If you just back up a few verses in this chapter, you see what Paul is saying. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned by God. Struck down, not destroyed. So the lenses Paul sees through changes how he sees things. And he even calls them light. Even what he's going through, these are light. He calls these pressures momentary. Why? Because he looks forward to something that makes them appear light and momentary when you lay them side by side and you can compare them. Compared to this, it's light. Compared to this, it's momentary. As we, children of God, carry out our ministries wherever God puts us, I think we can learn from Paul's example. So he says, I will fix my eyes not on what is seen, these light and momentary things, but on what is unseen, the eternal weight of glory. Why? Because the things that I see around me, these are temporary. What is unseen, the things that are out there, that's eternal. So whatever happens and is achieved is due to the all-surpassing power of God. A future dwelling, an eternal house in heaven, waiting. And it begins here in this life as we accept and receive that gift. That resurrection work in our life begins even here. In the meantime, we are jars of clay in whom the Lord has placed his treasure of the good news. And Paul explained that this treasure sustained him in all the difficulties that he experienced. What happened for Paul, what he experienced, we can too. God did not give this treasure to Paul just for his own comfort and assurance. He gave it to him so he'd have something to pass on, to be proclaimed. That was his entire purpose as an apostle. That is what we are to do with the same treasure. So Paul exhorts or encourages the Christians and us, take a look at what you are looking at. Take a look at what you are looking at. And we need to ask ourselves, through what lenses do I see and therefore live out my life? Through what lenses do I examine and discern current realities? And do we need to have corrected vision? I live in two realities. One reality, I live in this world. And as I live in this world, I experience the things of this world, the consequences of a sinful world. It comes in various forms at different times and in different ways where you experience forms of these things. You experience sickness or illness. You experience brokenness. You experience death. The other reality is God's future reality. And that reality is brought to us through the means of the Spirit, namely the promises that were won for us through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, the eternal hope that's found in Christ. Should we focus on the temporal, transient realities of this world alone? Well, that's what the gods of this world uses to blind people to what they could be seeing. And those things can become quite discouraging if all you ever see or focus in or kind of dialed in on are the things that we see going on around us in this world, particularly these days. Or shall we view life gazing into the eternal promises of God? You see, to see is to pay attention to with regards to kind of your aim or your focus. So he says, this is why we speak. Really because of what we've come to know. What we experienced, the different reality, the one that's eternal. It's a corrected vision. I want these, in a sense, these sunglasses. There's so much stuff out there today that causes confusion and blurs our vision. All these agendas out there in the world are in direct opposition to a Christian worldview. And more than ever, we need this time together in worship and what we receive in communion. It's here that we find what we need most. It's here that we find Christ, his love, his forgiveness, his strength, his promises. I think that reality became real when we were on our vacation. It was a great road trip. I think we drove 6,000 miles, covered like 9 or 10 states. But ultimately, it was to go and visit our boys. But 2 weeks ago today, we were in church together with our two sons, the church that they attend there in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And the four of us as a family knelt and received communion together. But the reality of that is interesting, and it was in talking with Amy that it dawned on me that's true. That is the first time we had ever taken communion together as a family. Baptized our sons, confirmed my sons, gave them communion to a family. But as a family, the four of us, to be together in worship as a family and come and take communion together, never done that before. My oldest kid is 26 years old. That's kind of a crazy reality when you think about it. And what a blessing that was. And then you come away from that and say, well, that's what really matters. That's what it's all about. That's what the sacrifices or things that you do along the way to share and instill and nurture faith. That's what really, really matters. Because I want my kids, our kids, to have these glasses too. To be able to see life not just from the perspective of just what I see and know around in the world around me. Because we need more than just the hope that the things of this world can give. Things that matter for all eternity. You see, after all is said and done, what really, truly matters the most? And you look at all the sacrifices that the Apostle Paul made, And not just him, but all those people that really started the momentum going for sharing and proclaiming this message of Christ and the resurrection, and knew that they would look back and say, it was all worth it. Every bit of it was worth it. That's just a light thing. That's just a momentary thing. But what lasts into all eternity is what matters most. All the sacrifices that we make to maybe to change your schedule around, to do things so that we can be in worship, that we can have that time for our quiet time, our devotion time, that we can gather in Bible studies, that we can remember one another in prayer, all the things that we do and the sacrifices we make, even if we receive ridicule in the process, it's worth it. It matters the most. It's worth it. We thank God for people like Paul who said, you know what? Doesn't matter. What matters is the eternal, the eternity of fill in the blanks of names. If ever there was a time that we need one another right now, it's this day and age in which we are at, so that we can hold one another up in faith, in prayer, and encourage one another on our journey of faith. We need each other. After all is said and done, it's worth it. It really is worth it. And we thank God for what he has done for us in and through his son, Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, what you endured, what your son, Jesus, endured for us. The suffering, the pain, the shame, all those things so that we could have a gift. God, there's a lot of us today that maybe right now we're struggling and we need that extra courage. We need that extra strength or peace or encouragement or, you know, release from some anxiety or guilt or whatever it is. We thank you what you have accomplished for us to be able to have that. Help us to receive that gift of liberation and freedom. We thank you for those families that joined us today as members here at Trinity, and we're thankful for them and their families. Pray that together we can work together with, under your great purpose and mission for us in life. Thank you for our school ministry and for the preschool summer day camp starting tomorrow and all the staff and the elementary one. I pray that those would be vehicles this summer to enable kids to come in contact with you and your love for them. And God, we think of other sacrifices too. We think back 77 years ago today what happened at Normandy and all the people who sacrificed and gave their lives too, for a different kind of freedom and liberation, but one that enabled us and other people around the world to be able to have access to the gospel and freedom and life. So many different ways that people have sacrificed and given themselves because it was worth it. God, just give us what we need today and in the coming week that we could be your people as light and life in this world. Thank you for that great gift. In Jesus' name, amen.